This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome to episode 12 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke, and after people confidently predicted we wouldn't even make it past one episode, we have made it to the end of our first year. As always, I am not here alone for this occasion. I am joined by my two excellent co-hosts. First of all, a man so young, he had to have a signed release from his parents to allow him to leave the state to go to WrestleMania. It's Logan Crosland. Good evening, Logan. How are you?
I can see it in your eyes, Ben. The fear in your eyes. The fear that the only thing that can defeat you is a Sean Kidd shit take. I'm good. I'm glad to be a 12-time guest here, Ben. I appreciate it.
I like to bring you along every time, mate. You know what
I
like.
I bring so much happiness to the world, so I'm glad to be here.
So Logan is one half of the crew. Let's bring in the other half. He is a man so old, a group of youngsters took pity on him sitting on his own for night one of WrestleMania, so they invited him to sit with him to make sure there was no other medical emergencies. It's the king of the shit take himself, Sean Kidd. Sean, how are you?
God damn, that was a great opening, Ben. That even popped me a little bit. That was really good. That was really great. I am good. I can't believe we made it 12 episodes. I am happy to be one of the boys or one of the guys on episode 12 of Chicken Salad. I don't know who your regular crew is, but thanks for having me on this episode. And I also feel like it's been a while. The last episode we recorded very early. So it's been like 2 months since we've actually recorded together because I had to take my young adopted son, Logan, on a trip to WrestleMania, which we enjoyed. And I bought him ice cream and he really enjoyed it.
That waffle ice cream sandwich came in clutch.
What flavor ice cream did you get, Logan?
Make me really
jealous.
I got chocolate with sprinkles and it was in between a waffle. It was amazing.
Yeah, so like Sean said, it's got to be at least nearly 2 months now since we last recorded together. Yeah. Easy.
Yes, to peel back the curtain, yes, it's been a long, long time since we've actually recorded.
Yeah, so peel back the curtain. We're recording tonight on the 2nd of May. So, yeah, it's about 6 weeks. Got to be.
Yep. Yeah. At least.
So, as mentioned, this is episode 12 of Chicken Salad, and Logan, you picked tonight's show for us to talk about. So what show is it that we are going to be talking about?
Well, I wanted to pick something that was, you know, kind of the month after WrestleMania. So it's a lot of backlashes, a lot of extreme rules, and kind of looked at the card of this one, and it didn't really make me jump out of my seat, I'll say. But we went with Backlash 2005, so right after WrestleMania 21. So that's the show we'll be looking at tonight.
Excellent. So you would have been 12 at this point? 11 or 12?
Yeah, I would have turned 12 that August. I wouldn't quite have been 12. I would have been 11.
And I'm guessing from what you've just said that you have absolutely no memory of watching this live.
Absolutely not.
Excellent. I'm pretty sure I watched it the once. I think this was just, I was literally just hanging on watching pay-per-views at this point. So I think I've watched this once. Well, until I had to re-watch it for our show. Sean, did you watch this live?
I did. I was a young and spry 32 years. I had just turned 32 years old. And I was also expecting my first child. I just found out my wife was pregnant right around the time the show came on. So I have no recollection of this show. I know I watched WrestleMania, but it seems like 2005 is where all the pay-per-views start to lump together for me and kind of lose some of their luster. So I know I watched it live. Of course, I probably remember it more for the HBK Hogan stuff. But yeah, I haven't watched it since the original airing, so this was an interesting show for Logan to pick, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was also, I don't know if you're aware of this, gentlemen, it is also the one and only time that there has been a pay-per-view in the state of New Hampshire. I'm guessing Logan's never been to New Hampshire. Sean, is that a place you've been to?
Yes, I have been to New Hampshire several times for work stuff. Yes.
Yes. My whole knowledge of New Hampshire stems from the fact that it is the home state of Jed Bartlett in the West Wing. That is literally the only thing about New Hampshire I could tell you about.
Excellent.
I'm glad I'm not missing out. So we shall go to Manchester, New Hampshire for Backlash 2005. We open with an intro video focusing on the fact that this is Hulk Hogan's return match and first match for 2 years, and the world title match where Batista apparently fears the pedigree. Logan, did you fear the pedigree after this promo? Because, you know, Triple H mentioned it several times.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did, honestly. I never knew it was such a devastating finisher that nobody could kick out of. So, I was a little fearful that he put the fear of God into my eyes. So, you know, I really felt it.
This is a young lad, Sean. We've got to keep an eye on him, all right? Make sure he's okay.
Yeah, I don't know how terrified Batista would be of the pedigree, considering he beat Triple H at WrestleMania a month earlier. So clearly he was scared of it now. I thought the promo video was okay, but Jesus Christ, Triple H was like overselling and going for an Emmy Award or something on that goddamn pedigree. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, we got our third wank fest in a row. So we're doing pretty good on wank fest for three shows in a row.
The Triple H wank fest 05 begins here.
It's the pedigree and the world title. The pedigree will be the move that destroys you. Oh, Jesus.
After our opening video, we go into the arena where we are joined by our commentators, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, and they throw it to the Spanish commentators. Now, on another show that we do here on Place to Be, we talk about great value people, and behind the Spanish commentators was somebody who I thought was great value Hurley from Lost, until I realized it was a lady. And I felt that was probably not a point I was going to make, but I made it, damn it, out loud. And, you know,
I see a little chauvinism to open up the show, Ben.
Well, you know, we cater for all sorts around here, Sean.
We've said worse things, trust me.
I was about to say, Logan's got a whole list. So, our opening match of the night for the Intercontinental Championship is Chris Jericho versus your champion, Shelton Benjamin. Sean, we do a hidden takes, a hidden gem segment, I should say, at the end of the show. And I feel this match was like almost the living definition of a hidden gem.
I don't remember this match. I think this is the same year where you see that match with Shelton and HBK with that really good super kick spot, right? That's a few months after this, I think.
Yeah, it's a couple of months later.
So the first note I made is Jericho's hair. I remember this phase of his career really well. This is like towards the end of his first WWE run, correct?
Yes.
So, and I always equate that to the hair, because when he comes back, he has the short spiked hair, and it's all about the hair in these little segments he does. But and I had forgotten about this Shelton singles push. He's held this belt for quite a while now. I think he's held it since Taboo Tuesday at this point, I think.
So he's been champ about 6-7 months now, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought there were some nice false pins and arm drag to start. Lawler did a low-key nip-up joke, which was, you know, classic Lawler talking about nips. Jericho at one point looked like he ate some shit on a Corona outside. I liked the Stinger splash back. There was a Stinger splash back suplex by Shelton. There was a really nice sleeping superplex that I thought was really good. I mean, the last 10 minutes of this match I thought were absolutely fantastic. I thought the finish of the match was really good, and it was a really, really great home stretch. I thought both guys deserve the credit. And I went three and a quarter stars. This was a great, great match to open the show.
And also, Logan, we talk about surprisingly bad award. I mean, we've got to talk about that pop-up superplex.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. His athleticism is absolutely insane at this point. Yeah, like, during this point in his career, he was one of my favorites. Like, I wanted him to be the, you know, the next big guy. I know he obviously kind of struggles in the promo department, but his athleticism and how crazy some of the moves that he does and how he can transition into certain things is just amazing. But I thought early in the match, Jericho obviously knew that he was going to get out-wrestled because Shelton's obviously a collegiate amateur wrestler. And so he kind of turned it into a brawl and started getting some big bombs in there and striking him pretty hard. Shelton goes for the sunset bomb to the outside at one point, and Jericho kind of turns it into a Hurricane Rana. I thought that was a pretty cool transition. At one point, Jericho does the foot on the chest arrogant cover and does the flexing, and I always loved when he did that. Shelton's just so quick. At one point, Jericho's running towards him while he's on the ground, and he hops up real quick and hits a Samoan drop, and it's just like a flash, and it's amazing, and it's completely out of nowhere. And then at another point, he kind of jumps from the top rope and lands and then hits the T-bone. It only gets two at that point, but the finish was really great, kind of transitioning from the Walls of Jericho into the kind of the jackknife cover that he ends up winning with. But I went 3 stars. These two guys are awesome at this point, and I thought it was a really great match.
Yeah, I know I've mentioned it already, but the superplex was unreal. I mean, when you get King like wanting to see a replay twice, that tells you how much it sort of pops. It popped him. That whole sequence from the Oklahoma roll into the T-bone suplex was amazing. I honestly felt like, you know, this was Jericho trying to keep up with the young lad. And Sean, this is kind of reminding me of you at WrestleMania weekend, actually, keeping up with the younguns.
Trust me, I didn't keep up with the youngins as much as I could have. I was hurting the next day after I flew back to. When I flew out the next day, I was in bad shape for the first 3 or 4 days.
You weren't alone. Don't worry.
I was about to say, it sounded like a pretty hardcore weekend all around, to be fair.
Hardcore, sure.
Some people were hurting a little bit harder than Sean. I'll just put it that way.
yes, they were.
I also went 3 1/4 on it. I thought, I absolutely loved this. Thought this was great. Perfect opener. You know, the crowd was so into it. And I also like the bit after where Grisham tried to get a comment from Jericho and he decided he was just going to walk away.
This is like right where he starts turning heel, right? Towards the end of his run. Yeah. Basically, he gave no fuck about Todd and just kept walking.
and that's how it should be.
Absolutely.
Who cares about Todd?
So if Todd's your secondary interviewee, your primary interviewee is Coach, and he's with Edge, who talks about why Chris Benoit will want it. Have a go at Edge tonight, but Edge will still be the last man standing. Now, boys, you know I'm a fashion culture vulture, but what the fuck were those sunglasses all about on both men?
I don't know about the sunglasses, but I love Edge's leather coat. His coat was amazing, and I absolutely love this promo. Edge shitting on Benoit about being champion less than a year, and then bragging about how he got the briefcase from him. I thought Edge was awesome in this interview.
He was. Logan, anything to add?
Yeah, the sunglasses were kind of tragic, but it kind of fits both of their personalities a little bit. So I think it fit them a little bit more. But that doesn't mean that they were great looking either. And I made the note that Edge has slipped permanently into full psychopath mode at this point. He's just an insane, crazy person. So, good promo by Edge there.
We go back to the ring, and it's time for our second match, which is a tag team turmoil match for the tag team titles, or according to Lillian Garcia, a 5-team tag turmoil match. Nothing like Lillian to mangle up the English language. I'm going to do this like I did the Royal Rumble, where I'm going to sort of go through the teams, and then we'll talk about the stall at the end, if that's all right with you chaps.
Sure.
That's fine.
Okay, so team number one are the Heartthrobs, who are Romeo and Antonio. No, me neither. Team two are William Regal and Tajiri. They are a team that could have been so much greater if it wasn't for injuries. And they're the champs coming into this match. Regal and Romeo start, and Regal just wrestles rings around him. Antonio, with his early noughties frosted tips, tags in, and then Regal gets a tag to Tajiri. They hit a nice drop toe hold, drop kick combo. There's nice kicks from Tajiri, followed by suplexes and a moonsault. Romeo distracts a ref, which allows Antonio to hit Tajiri with a side suplex. Some awful double teaming by the Harlems. Oh, they were so bad. So bad. Tajiri gets a roll up out the corner for three. Team number three are Maven and Simon Dean. Dean is able to take over on Tajiri. If anything interesting happens in this segment, I'll let you know. Dot, 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 dot. Tajiri hits a spinning kick and is able to tag Regal in, who's a house of fire. Kick to the side of the head of Dean finishes it. Team four are La Resistance of Sylvain Grenier and Rob Conway. Tajiri hasn't got up, and La Resistance double team Regal. US chant for nobody in particular, because Regal's English and Tajiri's Japanese. Tajiri with double handspring elbows. There's also a spinning kick on Grenier, followed by double teaming from Regal and Tajiri. They hit some nice kicks before the Resistance take over. The Regal stretch then gets broken up. Tajiri tries to hit the tarantula on the inside, but gets hung on the top rope. Regal comes over for a look, but then gets rolled up for three. Hurricane and Rosie at team number five. Hurricane hits a crossbody for two. Hurricane gets sent to the outside via the top rope, but hits the post before coming down, which was a vicious accidental bump that almost made this match that exciting. Hurricane is facing peril with La Resistance double teaming him. Grenier misses an elbow from the second rope, and Hurricane tags in Rosie. Rosie takes over on both members, but they double team him. Rosie is able to keep one of La Resistance down, tags in Hurricane, who hits a splash off Rosie for the win. That is kind of why I never do play-by-play, because I have to talk about really dull matches like this. Logan, I'm going to let you take over for a bit.
I got you. Yeah, my only note for the first two teams that Tajiri and Regal had to go in with was, God, I hope Regal and Tajiri just absolutely murder these guys. And then when Raven and Simon Dean came out, I was like, rinse, repeat, murder these guys again. I also made the note, how is Maven still employed at this point? He's just so bad, and he's been bad since 2002. So, yeah, Regal and Tajiri are just super stiff throughout this. They lay in some big kicks and big strikes. I think Regal eliminates Simon Dean with a big knee. I thought that was pretty good. When La Resistance came out, I noticed that Sylvain was freaking gassed at this point. He was like, he was so balloon-like. It was ridiculous. And Conway kind of uses the tights to eliminate the champion. So they kind of get cheated out of making it to the end. But I thought Hurricane and Rosie came in with some good energy. Hurricane opened it up pretty hot with a big crossbody as he came in the ring. And I thought the finisher that the Hurricane hit kind of off of Rosie's shoulder was pretty good for the win. You know, it wasn't the greatest match ever, but I think it was fun, and it kind of kept a good pace throughout the time. So I went 1.5. It should have been a lot worse considering who the teams were, but it was all right. And I think it deserved a 1.5. So that's what I'll go with it on the
board. I went 1.5 as well. Do you want to know something really scary?
What's that?
Maven was in the main event of Survivor Series 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Might have to do that one on a future show.
Now, everybody get ready, because I believe our good friend is got a shit take to end all shit takes. Sean,
this is yours. All right. So, okay, I've had worse shit takes than what I think this one will be for sure. But this one's tough for me. Listen, I kind of like Logan, where I was like, man, when I went into this match, I was like, man, how bad is this match going to be? And I thought it was going to suck. And I think maybe the way I rated this might be because of how surprised I was. But I honestly didn't mind the match. I was totally entertained. The first note I made about the heartthrobs is I said, Romeo and Antonio can fuck off like Disco Inferno with their pink neck feathers and air headbands. And I also laughed. JR had to clarify who they are, because no one cared or knew who the hell they were, which was hysterical. And I said they're a mixture of Disco Inferno and the Nats. It's the Disco Inferno and Naturals had children. That's what they reminded me of. If you listen to our Impact, that's how detailed I went. I had no recollection. I know Tajiri and Regal were like, you know, back in the invasion time and everything, they were a team, but I had no recollection of them being tag team champions in 2005. I didn't hate the wrestling to start. I know you said it, the heartthrobs looked terrible. I guess I ignored that at the fact because I thought Regal looked really, really good. And I just thought it wasn't too bad. I guess because it was them. I don't know. Then the other note I made is that Dean and Maven. I hate Simon Dean, the purple gym wear. And I remember when, and I also made a note, remember when they tried to make Maven a thing? And to your point, that was a few short months ago at Survivor Series. I called them the regurgitated 1996 Body Donna. That's what Simon Dean was. Regal, you guys already talked about, was stiff. I mean, stiff knees, stiff elbows, pinned Dean. La Resistance, I put down as a less talented, great value Rougeau brothers. I was very upset when Tajiri and Regal got eliminated. Rosie and Hurricane, you know, they're goofy, but they were over. Logan already brought up the finish, which I thought was pretty decent. There was a Conway elbow for the apron to the floor that I thought was good. There was a double spine buster on Rosie that I thought was nice, and I liked the finish. I mean, listen, no matter what you say, the crowd was hot for it. I was thoroughly entertained, and I'm actually going 2.5 stars on it, and I will eat the Lenny Lane award for this match. I absolutely had no problem with it, and I enjoyed it. We had no right to enjoy this match whatsoever. This should have been a dud. No matter what, it should have been a dud, but it wasn't. No.
I don't know about you, Logan, he nearly made a believer out of me there. I felt the passion.
Yeah, I definitely felt the passion.
I really tried. Yeah, this is worth it. I tried. I really tried. I really tried because I knew I was going to eat shit on this one. So I really tried.
Yeah, I really might not give it to you for this one. I might give you for a take later, but we'll see. Get
there. But, let's see if I can sell that one as good as I just did that.
But yeah, this is like what I said when I was going into like picking the show. This is one of the matches I looked at and was like, dear Jesus, if this is somehow a star, it'll be like the most amazing miracle work ever. So they sold me for sure.
Yeah, I made the note that it was technically fine, but along with the crowd, I just didn't give a shit.
But you know what? How great. But I wanted more of Tajiri and Regal. Like, they were so awesome, and I wish they had a longer tag run that I could remember.
It's basically Tajiri, Regal, and the jobbiest jobbers who ever jobbed.
Yes.
And, you know, why? You know, when I don't give a single fuck about four of the teams, that's kind of an issue.
Yep.
That's
right. Yeah. Yeah, and then, so after the match, we then get the King telling us all about Truth Company, who have provided the theme tune to this show, which is a track called Stronger. And I'm sorry, boys, it's no Evanescence. It's not even a Written in the Stars. You know, it was just, this is like a Tim Capel butt rock special.
Yeah, this is butt rock all the way.
Our next match pits Edge against Chris Benoit in our last man standing match. This had preceded by a great video package, I thought, to set this up, that told you everything that was going on, like the way Edge basically cheated Benoit out of Money in the Bank and then the Gold Rush tournament. I don't know how you felt, boys, but at this point, Edge has really like fully formed his character. You know, the briefcase and then Lita obviously really were the last pieces of the puzzle that we're missing.
Yeah, he was hot. I mean, he was definitely going into his hot phase here. And like Logan said, he was going into full mental crazy guy mode. And yeah, Edge and Benoit at this time were two of my absolute favorites. So going into the match, I was super excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I know I said that Shelton and Jericho was a hidden classic, Logan, but I bloody love this. This was right up my alley.
Yeah, this was stiff and hard shots constantly and some good high spots for sure. Benoit comes in hot right off the start, coming in with some big shots, kind of takes Edge down. His knife edge chops just sound like they would freaking break your sternum every time he hits one. There's so many stiff strikes early. Brutal knees by Benoit. He has him down at one point and is just kneeing the shit out of him. JR at one point says Benoit isn't going to give Edge any surcease. And then King says, that's a nice word, and it's worth about 50 cents. So I thought that was a pretty funny line by King and JR there. I said Benoit has the best sharpshooter from somebody not named, not with a name Hart at the end of their name. So I thought his sharpshooter was pretty good in this one. Lawler finds a sign in the crowd at one point that says Benoit has gone over the edge and that it's apropos for the moment. And I said he has no idea how true that will be a few years down the road. There's a Benoit does a suicide dive and gets nailed with the trash can lid. So that one made me go yikes a little bit. And they get back in the ring at one point and they do a superplex onto the trash can. I think Edge gives it to Benoit. Edge goes up the ladder at one point and Benoit runs up and German suplexes him from near the top of the ladder. And I just wrote, Jesus Christ. And then he goes for the headbutt off the top of the ladder right after that. And I said equally as much, Jesus Christ, what are they doing to each other? And then Edge hits the impaler on the briefcase. I thought that was pretty brutal as well. And then eventually a brick to the head. I thought that was a very innovative way to finish it. So that was a good little spot to nail Benoit with the brick at the end. So I went 3.5 stars. I thought it was really great.
And I'm for like the second or third time in a row, I think, some briefcase and brick violence. You know, we're really fighting the show. Sean, I made a note earlier in the match where I said, Benoit hits 5 German suplexes in a row. Why, yes, Edge did have to retire because of a neck injury. Why did you ask?
Yeah.
I mean, this was... You know, basically, this was basically like Retirement City. You know, like we said, the shots were super stiff in this.
Yeah, it's last man standing, but it should be loser will retire or something else worse down the line. sorry, that was my Logan thing of the night. I apologize.
So that's the new award, the unnecessary Logan comment.
The unnecessary Logan comment award. I'll win that tonight too. This match was so stiff. I think Logan already brought out the Benoit dive outside where they smacked him on the lid, which was uncomfortable knowing what we know. And then they did the German suplex off the ladder, which also made it uncomfortable. And then there was the Miss Ladder headbutt, which was also uncomfortable knowing what we know now. It's like, this is like a match of, wow, that's really uncomfortable knowing what we know now. That's what I call this match. The uncomfortable know what we know now match. But JR, I thought, was amazing on commentary. I don't really like the brick ending, kind of took me out a little bit. It was fine, but you know, it looked savage, it looked great, but I don't know how I felt about it. But this match was fantastic. I love nice, stiff, like just wrestling matches. And again, these are two of my favorites at that time frame. I actually went 3.75 stars. And you want to talk about a hidden gem? I had totally forgotten about this match. And I don't know how, because I thought this match was fantastic.
I'm matching you 3.75. Wow. We're so in sync tonight.
Well, you were 2.5 on that tag team.
Apart from that tag match. Yeah, yeah.
Another match coming up. I'm sure you'll disagree with me on too. It's okay.
as Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So that's, you know, I'm happy with that. And as well, boys, I mean, this was really sort of the end of Benoit, even as an upper mid-card. I was going to say main event, but it's upper mid-card because, you know, as soon as the draft happens, he is firmly mid-card fodder from that point until what happened.
Yep.
Sorry to bring it down. Benoit does get the standing ovation from the crowd, though, after Edge has left the ring. So he didn't do a Jericho. He had the cheers. So, you know, yeah, good for him. We then cut to the back with Kane and Lita doing some very badly acted flirting and trying to figure out how Trish and Viz would fuck. The two then decide to play tonsillogy. That's what happened, Sean.
The bluntness took me out. That was great. Talk about how Lita and how Lita talk about how Trish and Viz want to fuck. It's like, what?
And here's my inappropriate a comment for the night. What a great love story between Kane and Lita, where a lady loses her baby and then falls in love with her rapist. It's a great story. Tale as old as time. Song as old as rhyme, you know.
Disney are going to pick the rights up for it any minute now.
We're going to have to put a disclaimer on before this show airs.
I mean, that was the storyline, so I mean...
It really was. This is going to be rated 18 and R. It's going to
be... NC-17, watch out.
Oh, man.
I'm going to carry on with this play-by-play. You guys are going to be so impressed with me tonight. So for our next segment, we are back to the ring, where King is plugging the Divas Swimsuit Edition and brings the girls involved down to ringside. We have Christy Hemme, Maria, Candice Michelle, Victoria, and Stacey Keibler. King invites Lily up too. I don't know, Jasmine, are you two aware of a program called Peaky Blinders?
No idea what you're talking about.
It's on BBC America, so I don't know if you've seen it or not, but basically they have brought back the flat cap into fashion in this country in a big way. And Stacey Keibler has got the Peaky Blinders flat cap 10 years early. That's a good thing, Sean. That's a good thing.
I would imagine it is.
If it's on Stacey, it's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Pervy old man Jerry is in full effect and asks each girl what their favorite photo in the mag is. We see each photo in a graphic. King starts asking some hard-hitting questions, but the masterpiece Chris Masters interrupts, doing his full entrance. The King and the girls use this time to leave the ringside. Masters lays out another Master Lock challenge and offers £3,000 to anyone who can break his Master Lock. That's a full Nelson to you and me. He finds someone in the crowd, and it turns out to be Melissa Coates from Manchester, New Hampshire. Masters says she puts the man in Manchester and then tells Melissa to have a seat, sir. He puts the hold on and treats Melissa like a rag doll, and then gets to pose afterwards. Logan, I'm a secret fan of the masterpiece. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, I love the entrance. It's one of my favorite entrances of all time, honestly. I think he started to hit his stride kind of towards the end of his WWE career, but, you know, he was green and young here, so he was just starting to kind of learn everything. But, yeah, the Master Lock Challenge was a good way to put over a new guy. But this is one that I'm kind of surprised Peacock let be on their streaming service. This was a little politically incorrect, if I could say the least. I mean,
I think given it's us, we can say it's politically incorrect.
yeah, that's true. Very true.
Speaking of which, Sean, I'm disappointed that we did not get to hear Jerry Lawler doing his best Maverick Povich and asking the hard-hitting questions that we all wanted to know.
Well, no, but he was stupid in this. Like, okay, so first off, his shirt looks like an Elvis special. So it looks like he went into Memphis and got his shirt out of an Elvis shop or something. Looks awful. The Divas stuff is both stupid. They're all very hot. But my point in this is, why would you buy the mag if they're just showing all the pics up on the big screen to begin with? Like, what's the point in buying the magazine? You're seeing it on the screen. Hemi's cover photo, this is going to get me in a little bit of trouble. I didn't think it was great because I thought her forehead looked really, really huge. And I don't think it really did well on the magazine cover. And I put, what a missed opportunity they had with Masters. By the way, Chris Masters is in the rebooted NWA, and he's the current national heavyweight champion, and he's one of Nick Aldis's partners in their faction. So he is actually back. But yeah, I was making a comment to Logan. I feel like Masters did the narcissist gimmick the way that Luger should have done it, and I don't think he got enough props and probably got enough time to really grow in it. But I thought Chris Masters was awesome, and I love the gimmick. And then just a side note here, Melissa Coates, for those of you that don't know, is a pro wrestler, and she actually had her leg amputated recently. So not to bring it down, but she lost her leg probably about 6 months ago. But anyway, not to bring it down, but he was a savage here. He was a dick. And this segment, for me, made Chris Masters look just savage and just such a prick. And the Diva stuff is typical Diva stuff, and I hate that stuff.
Yeah, he really ragdolls her at one point.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, ragdolls her to hell.
Yeah.
She sells it great. And to be fair to the company, they really did get behind Masters because he doesn't lose until September.
I mean, he even gets in. I mean, he has a feud with HBK's in the Elimination Chamber, so he has a lot of good. I mean, he's a thing with Carlito, so there's a lot of like Kid and Jim stuff over the years with him in it that probably a lot of people have forgotten.
Yeah, his team with Carlito was really good for that little time period, and like when they reintroduced Superstars in like 2010 or whatever, or 2009, whenever it came back, he was like one of those guys that was on there all the time, and he was really good a lot of the time. So, yeah, he got kind of slept on.
Yeah, yes. And I feel like we got to keep positive because now we've talked about rapists, we've talked about deaths, and we've talked about leg amputations. This might be our most dark episode yet.
Well, that's the first half. coming up in the second half, we've got necrophiliacs, we've got. We've got another racist in the Hulk Hogan. No, we have got three matches coming up in the second half, including the main event for the World Heavyweight title, the aforementioned Shawn Michaels Hulk Hogan tag match, and Kane versus Viscera, and as well as a segment I had forgotten all about, and I am that if Logan for no other reason. Pick this show so I could see that promo segment from Christian that we will talk about in the second half. That you will forever have my thanks for that. So, from me, Ben Locke, Sean Kidd, and Logan Crosland, we will see you on the other side of Wrestling Chicken Salad. Welcome back to episode number 12 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke, and as always, I'm here with Logan Crosland and Sean Kidd, and we will be getting back to Backlash 2005 very shortly. I'm afraid to say that Hank Carter and Joe Fowler are not with us this month. They are on vacation and are still trying to make their way back on the Lex Express from WrestleMania. Because, you know, they're a bit old, much like Sean, so they have to take the time with these things. So I'm going to take care of all the plugging duties tonight. So first of all, check out the new Place to Be Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logos on great merchandise like T-shirts, hoodies, and more. You still can't get any chicken salad merch, though. Just go to www.tpublic.com. and type in PTVW in the search bar. Here on the Wrestling Network, you can catch the newest episode of With This Ring, where Ryan and Cindy begin their GWCW research with a look at the career of the great Dusty Rhodes. Marty Sleaze continues his countdown of the 25 best WWF matches from 1988 to 97 with the newest episode of Pro Wrestling Love. In a chronology bonus, Neil and Dave recap WrestleMania 9, which Dave is watching for the first time. There might also be another WrestleMania 9 episode of a podcast out there. I don't know, boys, have you heard of anything? I'm not sure. Is there another one?
I think I heard about another one. I think it was a lot better, if I'm being honest, but I think it's out there for sure.
Thank you. I'm just like to make sure of these things. On the newest episode of the Special Relations, Ben, some guy called Ben, gets very angry. He really does. Just to say, like, if you don't like football, and I'm not using the word soccer, don't listen to the first 50 minutes of that show, because it's basically the three of us just ranting off on it.
Yeah, I took that advice. Since I don't watch sports.
Good. Yeah, it was very wise, Sean. Don't get me wrong, it's probably the best thing we've done, but if you don't like football, there's no point.
Still it was a very good show. I just wanted to throw that out there. You're welcome.
Yes, thanks. It was.
On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G recap episode 25 of NWA Power, where Strictly Business flex their muscle and Tyrus gets a TV title shot. Sean, am I right in saying Strictly Business? That's what Chris Masters is in. Is that what you were on about before?
Yes, it's Chris Masters. Yes, he is part of that group.
Excellent. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search for Place to Be Wrestling Network, and you'll find us. You can check out the other feeds on the Quad Pod. Check out the other feeds on our Quad of Pods. Easy for me to say. The PTB Pop Experience is all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, music, comics, trivia shows, and more. Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more. Join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes. There's also Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboy podcasts, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter or nontoxicfanboys.com. You can join the Rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and much, much more. We have the 2021 Stretch Project is underway, which will be determining the greatest WCW and NWA wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW and join the group to discuss nominees. Be sure to check out placebnation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox report, Paulie's perspective, and Matt's Disney live-action journey. And if you're doing any online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right-hand side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And that's it for the plugs for tonight. Oh, get me breath back, gents. Oh, I tell you, I could never be one of those, you know, salesmen on a shopping channel. I'll tell you, I'd be absolutely awful.
Sure, Miss Joe.
Tell you what, Joe and Hank, you know, they do as a service. They really, really do.
I can promise Hank will come back with a passion in our next episode. Don't worry.
Okay. You better do. I miss that son of a bitch. shall we get back to Backlash, gentlemen?
Yes,
right. We should.
We should. So after the Master Lock Challenge, we head backstage where we are joined by Viscera and Trish, where Viscera declares that it is on like a steaming pile of neck bones. Oh, it's a black thing. You will find out soon enough. Viscera has brought some laundry and booked a hotel for him and Trish. Trish says Viscera has to beat Kane, otherwise he doesn't get any tonight. Sean, difficult to believe in today's modern WWE that this was 2005. This was like only 16 years ago. There was stuff like this.
So culturally wrong. And again, we talked about, I don't know how this show made it past the cock cuts. It doesn't play well. And I really don't understand, and I guess I don't remember the feud that led to Trish giving it up to Viscera if he took out Kane. I must have missed something along the way because I totally missed that feud somewhere along the line. But the thought of Vis and Trisha together, oh my God, just disgusting. But terrible, terrible, not politically correct promo here. I thought it was bad, very bad.
He's taking those baby steps to becoming the world's largest love machine here. It's starting here, that amazing character.
I thought he already did that to Matt Hardy in the Rumble in 2003.
That was 2006. We watched that.
Oh, was that six or three? I forget.
Yeah, that was six.
See, all timers setting in. Sorry, guys.
Well, you know, he is old, Logan. You got
to. So the path is being laid here to get us to 2006. I see. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so we head to ringside for our next match, which is the aforementioned Kane versus Viscera match. Logan, this wasn't great, but it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, considering it has Viscera in it, it could have been probably one of the worst matches of all time. But they kept a pretty good energy and a pretty good pace. As fast a pace as the two guys could have. But they kept the crowd in it pretty well. At the beginning of the match, King wonders if Viscera and Trish's lovemaking session later in the night will be recorded so everybody can watch it later.
No.
That's a horrifying thought for at least half of the combination. But JR then says this match will be about as pretty as two semis colliding. So, yeah, I think he had that one about right. It was a good little back and forth Haas match. There was a spot where Trish had a chair and Lita's on a crutch because she tore her ACL earlier in the year. And she hits the crutch into the chair and it goes into Trish's face. And it was probably the best spot of the match, if I'm being honest. But I went 1.5 on it. It wasn't terrible, but it also wasn't that great at the same time.
Did any of you catch Viscera's attempt to black hole slam?
Yes.
I did, yeah.
Yes.
He did quite well, to be fair. Sean, like Logan says, this wasn't terrible, but when the most over person in the match is Matt Hardy, then there is a little problem going on here.
Yeah, you know, this would be the other match I assume Logan looked at and said, oh, yeah, this match has to be bad. And again, pleasantly surprised. Maybe not. It's not a great match, but for a big man match, I thought it was pretty good. I don't need to see Viscera's darting tongue ever again. That was disgusting and gross. I did enjoy, after the match, Trish going in on Viscera after he lost. And bitch, Trish is so hot. And again, more politically incorrect statements for Trish. Be calling him a greasy chicken eating loser. And again, right. I don't know how the cock didn't find this. And then we talked about Masters ragdolling and Melissa Coates earlier. This were ragdolling Trish here, and then the splash was freaking unbelievable. And then we get a stretcher job. So I'm gonna probably get a little bit of shit for this. I didn't hate the match, and I thought it was probably one of Viscera's better matches. I went 2 stars.
I went 1 star for the match, but yeah, that bit at the end, yeah, Viscera was vicious.
Fantastic. Taking out Trish. Yes.
But you know, and fair play to him. Like I say, they did do quite a good job of ignoring the whole "we want Matt" thing, which sadly will become a problem like until he comes back.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to the "we want Matt." I was too busy looking at darting Viscera's tongue and Trish getting ragdolled and splashed.
Yeah, this is like 3 or 4 politically incorrect segments in a row. So this is a pretty politically incorrect show so far. So I'm amazed that this one didn't get scrubbed a little bit more by the Peacockers.
Well, the next match certainly doesn't help that scenario.
I was going to say, and to be fair, if you want like politically incorrect and politically incorrect analysis, you come to us three.
I feel like we've been pretty on brand tonight. So,
so as Logan mentioned, we have another match coming up, which is a tag match, and it is the returning Hulk Hogan tagging with Shawn Michaels against the team of Muhammad Hassan and Daivari. We have a lengthy. Sorry, we all have lost again. Oh, am I on, boys? Sorry. I'm going to start that again. Give me a second. Our next match pits the returning Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels versus Muhammad Hassan and Daivari. There's a lengthy video package to set this up where Shawn wants this to be Hogan's one more match after his Hall of Fame induction, as he wants a true real American to help him take down Hassan and Daivari. Logan, did you have your WrestleMania 27 stopwatch handy for this?
I did not, but did you keep up with it by chance?
Yeah, so I did. Okay. So as host, I like to make sure that we keep everything in order here. So the video packages to the entrances, to the Hogan entrance slash pop, which was insane, and I will give him all the props in the world for that. That genuinely took up 10 minutes. Of this show was all of that stuff. Sean, I'm going to come to you first, because after all that, we had the match and it's as basic a tag match as you can hope for.
Yeah, Hassan, he just bad timing on this gimmick. I mean, this is a gimmick that should not have happened. No gimmick like this should happen after 9/11. And they were going for the very stereotypical Vince bullshit. And even Vince, I didn't think, had bad enough taste to do this gimmick in 2005. Even his music is insulting with the Arab, it's just really, really bad. And he's Vince is totally going for a 9/11 Bin Laden gimmick here, which is probably one of the reasons why Hussein didn't last, because he got a ton of heat for it. HBK, I liked his new outfit. It's kind of like the same outfit, except he has one chain over his shoulder versus having a double shoulder pad. So that looked a little different. But he also looks too old to be in it. I think this is where Sean starts truly looking a little old to me. And I said the outfit that Sean's wearing looks a little something like Hawk's daughter Brooke would be wearing at the time. I hated 02 Hogan, so 05 is no better. I put wash, rinse, repeat. The crowd still loves him. This whole late Hogan run, they just, like you said earlier tonight, oh, Hogan's return. Well, you know what? I never even realized he left, because he seemed to come back nonstop during this time frame. But the crowd loves him. Hogan dwarfs Hassan and Daivari, who both look like 205 live candidates. Sean nailed some sick chops on Daivari. The face is dominated. And then there's some long heat on HBK, but it didn't really do anything of value. The crowd was definitely into it, like I said. And I also said that we should take shots every time the commentary said that Hogan and HBK were a dream team, because we heard that 100 times. Just awful. This is kind of like your basic old school 1980s tag team formula match. It seems like this should be like at SummerSlam 88 or 89 kind of tag. So I went 2.5. It wasn't terrible. It was cool to see HBK and Hogan in a tag team match, and I'm a sucker for those late 80s pay-per-view main event tag team matches. So I went 2.5. But, and then, of course, at the end of the match, they bring in our favorite fashion award guy. Some old bald guy comes in with a Hogan tat, and he's just big and fat and hairy. And Lawler says, look at Jiggles, which made me laugh.
Oh, Jesus.
Easiest fashion award winner ever.
100%.
You know what's actually the scariest thing about Hassan was? If it wasn't for another terrorist attack in London, that gimmick would have still carried on.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just how bad, Vince just culturally just has no, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Something's really wrong with Vince McMahon in this time frame.
Logan, like Sean has sort of alluded to, this match was all show, basically. There was, very little action taking place.
Yeah, I can't imagine the casting call for Muhammad Hassan. He's like, oh, who's that dark skinned Italian Canadian guy over there? I think he's a good fit to play the terrorist. Let's get him, pal.
He looks like Bin Laden, pal. Let's get him. I want a terrorist. Damn it! I want a terrorist.
This other little Middle Eastern guy. He could be his manager.
Give him some music too.
I love it. Yeah, I was gonna say, as much as Sean kind of likes the tropey 80s stuff, that's kind of where it lost me. I gave it a gentleman's two. Ben said the pop that Hogan got was amazing. I thought it was crazy how over he was at this point. And then, like, just 3 weeks ago when me and Sean were at WrestleMania, how much he was, like, he had so much vitriol thrown at him and how booed he was. So it's amazing how far he's fallen. But throughout the match, I love that the two grizzled veterans basically squashed the two new young up-and-comers. So great, great way to build the business there, guys. Hassan eventually uses a lead pipe to kind of equalize things because they're totally getting squashed up until that point. Daivari pinched Michaels at one point, and Hebner just, like, inexplicably just stops counting. And because I think Hogan was supposed to come in and kick Daivari or whatever, but he never came in, or he came in late at least. Kind of like we said, I feel bad for Hassan at this point. I don't think he was like a great wrestler per se, but like, I think he had some of the tools that could have been, you could have built a little bit better of a career, but kind of the stuff that you were talking about, the whole London bombing thing, that happened that kind of screwed it pretty much ended his career. And like, you know, he was gone as quick as he was there. So, but as much as I kind of thought he had a future, the camel clutch is the worst finisher of all time. but I did like the electric chair spot that Sean did to get out of it. So I like that. I also made the note that Hogan and Daivari is probably the biggest mismatch in the history of pro wrestling. But yeah, I like the super kick finish. And yeah, like Sean said, they bring the grotesque bald man into the ring, and he has the huge, Hogan back mural tattoo. So, yeah, that was pretty gross. But, yeah, like I said, I gave it to Gentlemen's. I gave it to Gentlemen's too, just because it was okay. And it was good to see Hogan and Michaels kind of team up, but wasn't anything great.
Logan on brand hating the late 80s tag team matches that he thinks are for old people. So, pretty on brand.
I'm going to bridge the gap between you both. I went 2.25. So, I'm kind of like Logan though. They kind of lost me where, you know, with the lead pipe being used basically like a graze, you know, it was like a graze on the shoulder, wasn't it? That's the only thing that can get him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the guy comes in the ring with the tattoo, oh my god, I nearly actually vomited. Nearly.
I was going to say, it hadn't come out yet, but the newest episode of From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, Roger asked me if he should get a new tattoo or something like that, and I sent him that picture earlier because he's a big Batista fan. I told him he should get a big girl on his back of Batista like that guy had, so he was a big fan.
Do it, Rog, do it. So after the match, we head backstage where Todd Grisham is with Triple H. He's very confident of winning the title tonight. WrestleMania was a fluke, apparently, and he is basically still trying to sell the pedigree like it is the greatest move ever and death. You know, Sean, there's not a lot to say. The pedigree is truth.
The pedigree is God. The pedigree is the world, and it will rule everybody. That's what I wrote.
Is the pedigree not like one of the most kicked out of finishers in the history of wrestling, though?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's up there with like the lion salt for like how did Jake describe it on Impact Zone? For completion rate.
Here's what made me so mad about them selling the damn pedigree and all this. The build to Batista Triple H at WrestleMania was so well done, and I feel like they're backtracking now as they go into the rematch here and just make a Triple H get all the shine because he has the greatest move of all time and he's the world. That belt belongs to him. I hate that they backtracked, and that's what I feel like they're going right back to Triple H. What did you call it? Wank what is it? Wanking. Triple H Wank Fest. Right back at it. Yes.
Triple H Wank Fest.
Don't worry. I have a wank in this in the next episode or the next next
all right. match. Though. Excellent. Okay.
But yeah, like
let's be clear to that. Logan. I'm just gonna make clear to that. Logan has a wank in the next episode, right?
Okay. Oh God. I was going to say, yeah, they don't play, like, in the video package to start the show, they don't have any sound bites from Batista. Once they get to the package for the match, he only says, like, two things. So it's, like, all about Triple H. So it's insane that they just, like, crown a new champion, a new guy, and they're, like, meeting him. But it's Triple H, though.
But we do not have that match next, gentlemen. We have something else. Our next segment is Captain Charisma himself, Christian, coming out to ringside, and the crowd seemed very appreciative of him. He talks about the backlash that would happen if he wasn't on the show, and this might be the last time you ever see him on a Raw pay-per-view due to the draft. And as a main eventer, he wants to talk about his other main eventers in the form of a rap. Now, gentlemen, if you'll indulge me for just a second. On Raw, you've got Batista with muscles to spare, but he's got charisma like Tomko's got hair. You've got Triple H and Ric Flair, their legend still grows. 26 titles between them and the world's biggest nose. Have you heard the one about JBL? You know, the rich guy on SmackDown? Well, I hear his taxes are still soaring. He's no wrestling god. He's just the god of boring. Seems to me I'm forgetting someone. Who am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, he's the guy who inspired this rap. The WWE champ John Cena. Do you want to hear it? I said, do you want to hear it? Well, it goes a little something like this. Hey, Cena, you think I'm jealous of your fortune and fame? You may talk like Snoop Dogg, but you look like Corey Haim. Dissed. Mm. So, after the draft, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, JR or Michael Cole, I will be world champ, because that's how I roll. When a guy makes me write down a rap word for word, Sean, that is a great promo.
Yeah, it was great, and I was so excited with Christian because I felt at this time he was going to get a run with Cena, and unfortunately we know what ends up happening with it, but this is a really great promo. I love the Corey Haim line, and it's kind of a sneak peek under the tent of what we see from Christian and Tomko when they go to TNA, which is an amazing run over there, right? So I loved everything about this. Christian at this time was phenomenal and very excited, and it was good to see him kind of get a little bit of shine before he goes and does some big things over in TNA, not too far from this.
Yeah, Logan, I mean, we've only got about another 5 or 6 months of Christian here in WWE before he goes to TNA, so, but he was really coming into his own at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, honestly. He's kind of hitting his stride towards the end, and, you know, he obviously left because they weren't going to push him past a certain point, but it would have been a nice to maybe even see him get a face run here because it seemed like the crowd was kind of getting behind him a little bit, so he could have kind of had a little bit of maybe a face run to kind of go forward, but obviously they didn't believe in him enough to keep him kind of up towards the main eventer. So he obviously leaves to go to TNA later in the year. But yeah, it was a great promo, and I would have loved to have seen him get a little bit more of a push than he got. But his TNA run's pretty good, so
I can't complain too much. We're gonna get there. So we have got the main event next, which is for the World Heavyweight title between Batista and Triple H. We get an intro from Ric Flair for Triple H. We also get a really nice vision from Batista. And I don't know how you felt, Logan, but I was really impressed with this crowd tonight. They were really up for it.
Yeah, like you said earlier, I feel like this, this is the only pay-per-view they ever got, so I felt like they really needed to bring the energy tonight, so I thought they really did for sure. I definitely agree with you.
Sean, you said about a drinking game for Dream Team earlier on. I think we could have had a drinking game for The Pedigree Is the Truth.
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's nonstop pedigree. Did you know that The Pedigree was the best move of all time? Did you know that?
So Jerry Lawler tells me.
Okay. All right. Did you know that Triple H does The Pedigree better than anybody?
That I did not know.
Did you know the difference maker is The Pedigree?
Did you know that the fear in the eyes of Batista is because of The Pedigree?
Did you know The Pedigree is better than sex?
Is it better than coconut though?
Yes, I think The Pedigree is better than coconut. I think we could just like wax how great The Pedigree is for like the next hour on the show if we really want to.
Don't tempt me.
You know what the best dog food is, Ben? It's Pedigree.
Pedigree.
Oh wow, you guys have Pedigree too. So Logan, this match, you know, it's really not great, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, their WrestleMania match wasn't all that great either, but we have the benefit of hindsight here, or foresight, I guess. We know that the next month's match is like an all-timer. It's one of the best Hell in a Cells ever. So, you know, this just came off as kind of, you know, paint by numbers, pretty basic, you know, just, you know, we're kind of going to leave the door open to, you know, having another match, kind of leave it open-ended to where the Pedigree could have been the killer move, but there wasn't a ref there to count the pin. Batista still has his great value I Walk Alone music here. It didn't quite have words yet. But yeah, we were kind of bashing on it before the match, but the fact that they treat the Pedigree like a killer move is almost completely laughable. And at one point I was like, hey, Hunter, maybe you should attempt to wear your opponent down a little bit before you constantly go for the Pedigree once again. Triple H hits a spine buster into the guardrail on Batista at one point. I thought that was pretty brutal. Flair gets involved at one point, really starts peppering Batista with some shots. And then he throws Batista back in the ring and kind of really plays it off like he wasn't actually doing anything at all. Batista delivers a pretty hard lariat at one point, and JR calls it a frozen rope clothesline. I thought that was pretty funny. At one point, Triple H gets the world title belt when he's like about to get powerbombed, and I had no idea where the hell he got the belt from. I never saw anybody slide it in or bring it in, you know, so I completely missed wherever he got the belt from. This is where the wanking comes in. I said, what a finisher wanking fest by Triple H, like hitting the Pedigree, and the referee just happened to be down, so he could have gotten the count, and it could have been the killer move. So, like, just, you know, that's Triple H just stroking his ego a little bit more. And Jack Dolan was the backup ref that came down at some point. I love that he ran down without his ref shirt on and was, like, putting it on as he was running down the ramp, and he, like, tucked it in when he got into the ring.
I'm glad somebody else got that note.
Apparently the Batista bomb is the move you can't kick out of, because the one time Batista hits it, Triple H doesn't kick out. So,
go ahead, Logan. Sorry.
I went 2.5. It was pretty good, but it could have been a lot better, and it was just kind of basic. So, not too impressive, but 2.5 is what I went.
Like you say, like the whole thing with the, you know, when he hit the Pedigree when the ref was on, and then he made sure, then he went for the visual pin, just so you got it in your head that, you know, it's the most devastating move in wrestling. But Sean, he clearly didn't learn anything from WrestleMania 17. You never mount the guy in the corner who's got a powerbomb in his arsenal.
No, I went 2.25 on this. So the first note I made was, Batista doesn't have the Walk Alone entrance yet, and I really did not like his Great Value Velocity music that he came out to as world champion. That music was so bad, and I right away I'm like, oh, this match is gonna be just suck. It's just kind of there. I mean, is it a bad match? No. I mean, there was a spine buster to a wall that was okay. There was lots of punching, shoulder blocks. I laughed at Flair going to town on Batista outside, and Batista gets his sick looking clothesline out of the corner. And there's a nice power slam. So I also think Batista still looks a little green. I didn't like the ref bump spot. It just seems like every ref bump is after this ref bump. It was an overindulgent mess. I did those 2.25, but this is not a great main event. And you know what's even worse is I rated the tag team turmoil match higher than this match for me. So that might be. I don't know. I big shit take there. I'm not a big fan of this match. I'm really not.
But Ben, before you cut back in, let me make one more comment. The worst part is at WrestleMania he comes out to the Great Value music and he does the little like gun thing that he does with the pyro eventually, but it has no pyro, so he just looks like the biggest jackass in the world.
So
he's just like dancing there with his arms going around and he looks like a moron. But go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, you would have thought that he would got his new music after he won the belt, right? Make him a big deal, but no, it's like an episode of Velocity. It's terrible.
let's be fair. Remember that this Batista never should have been a main event player. He only got the role because like Orton sucked that bad.
But they built it so well. Like everything they did wrong with Orton, they did right in building up Batista.
Oh yeah. I agree with that.
But this match totally showed how green he was. He was still not ready for this. It was very obvious. Not good.
Yeah. And Triple H at this stage was not the guy to carry him.
No, because the pedigree makes the difference.
Yeah, the pedigree is all encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
You will fear it, but like Logan said, they have an all time match next month. So give them the no DQ bells and whistles, and they're ready to party.
Yeah, this just felt like maybe a house show match. I would have saw at a random house show in one of my arenas. It just wasn't great.
Yeah. It's just, let's send the crowd happy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is the end of this show, but it's not the end of our show. So it is time for our awards, gentlemen. So what did we think was the best match of the night? I'm going to go to Sean first.
Edge Benoit for me.
Excellent. Yes. And for me too. Logan, clean sweep or something else?
Yeah. Yeah, clean sweep. That was definitely the best match for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, absolutely loved it. Just brutal, basically. Worst match of the night, Logan?
I'm going to go with Viscera Kane.
Viscera Kane. Sean?
Yeah, even at 2 stars and not being the worst, terrible match it could have been. I went with Vis Kane, too.
And clean sweep. I don't, I went 1 star, but that, as I said, that's still not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Most surprising match, most surprising moment, good or bad. Let's go to Sean first.
My biggest surprise is that I shit all over the Viscera and Kane match, so I went Viscera and Kane.
Logan?
My most surprising is the fact that a lot of this show made it onto Peacock. But no, most surprising match. I'll give it to the Turmoil. I thought it was better than it had any right to be.
I picked a moment instead of an actual match, and that is Shelton's pop-up superplex, which that's something that should be replayed for years and years and years, and just isn't. So I had to sort of mention it somewhere. So I'm going to mention it there. And mentioning that moment, though, takes us very nicely into our hidden gems category, because I think we've got 2 on this show, Logan. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think those are definitely both strong contenders for a hidden gem. I'd go out of my way to watch them again for sure.
Yeah. Well, 3, that tag team turmoil match. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I would definitely say there's 2. I'd go out of your way to watch Shelton and Jericho, and I'd go out of your way to watch Benoit and Edge.
Yes. And speaking of tag team turmoil, it is time for the Lenny Lane Award for the biggest shit take of the night. Logan, are you giving it to Mr. Kidd?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sean.
You kind of have to. There's no other choice. I'm going to give it to myself. I mean, what else is there?
As much as attack turmoil kind of surprised me, 2.5's a little strong, I'll admit.
Yeah. I'll give it to myself too. I mean, you guys didn't have any shit takes, so I'll give it to myself on that one, and I'll die on that mountain. I didn't hate it, so
to be fair, we've done a lot of politically incorrect stuff tonight, but like no, there's been hardly any actual shit takes going on.
No, it's been a very non political correct. Like the cock would delete us off the network if they had this show on their network. In fact, PTBN might delete us after they hear
this show. Yeah, this is gonna be like the great unheard episode that everybody will. Yeah, did you know they did this?
Did you hear what they said?
Oh my God, they're talking about rapists and murderers and amputations.
Damn it. Oh my.
Yes.
And our final award, actually, but the fashion statement award, like I said when we talked about it earlier on, I'm going to go first because this, for me, is the easiest fashion statement award of this show's history. Although it's not really a fashion choice, more of a lifestyle choice, and that is the Hogan tattoo guy, Logan. Who are you going to pick?
Yeah, it's definitely going to go to the Hogan mural back tattoo guy. It might not necessarily be a fashion statement, but it's definitely a statement for sure, to say the least.
It's definitely a statement that he's going to die on the mountain.
Yeah, it's definitely fat, hairy guy Hogan tattoo. That's what I wrote.
And we have got our league table. I'm quite confident in saying this. I'm not going to go through all as always because there's far too many now. But I'm going to say this is going to be at the bottom end. So where SummerSlam 93 is sitting, do we think this is better or worse than SummerSlam 93?
No, it can't be worse. This isn't worse than SummerSlam 93.
Isn't worse.
You know what? It's tough because I feel like SummerSlam 93 is kind of an event. This feels like more of a glorified house show on pay-per-view just to fill some time. And yeah, you know, I don't think I'd take it over SummerSlam 93. I'd watch SummerSlam 93 again before I'd watch this again.
Yeah. Would you watch Starrcade 89 again before you watch this?
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
I would too. Yes.
Why on earth would you? Have you forgotten how bad some of those matches were on that show?
Oh man, but Luger and Flair was so good.
Yeah, but you got two 3+ star matches on this show, and I got nothing under 2 stars. I can't put this. There's no way I would watch Starrcade 89 again before this show.
I'd put it right below this show. I think it's above Halloween Havoc 98.
Yeah. So we've got. I'd put it sort of like, so we got SummerSlam 93 as the best show. I'd probably keep Starrcade 89 where it is the second best show, but I'd say this is the third best show we've watched.
I disagree, but I'll go with the majority.
That's fair. See, you're growing as a person. This is lovely.
I mean, it's close. It's close for sure. But I would watch that show again before I watch this show again. I have to admit.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's. I'm not saying it's. You know, it's.
Is there such a thing as a tie?
There is such a thing.
Yeah, it can be tied for next to last.
What
we've learned in this process is I need to stop picking shows because I'm actually picking like actually cromulent good shows.
Logan, your method of picking this show, I understood. You saw those two matches, and naturally, I would have thought, oh, yeah, it's going to suck.
Yeah, I knew that next Batista-Triple H match was the best one, so I figured this one might have disappointed at least a little bit. So, yeah, just looking at the card, I definitely thought it was...
I don't fault you for picking this.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Logan, he also picked Survivor Series 99, which is currently in second place.
Oh.
Very true.
Terrible. Terrible.
So you know he gets some things right. Right, gentlemen, I think that is almost it for tonight. But let's go round the horn and see what we've got to plug. Sean, you first, my friend.
Okay, so Ben, do you want me to announce what we're going to do next episode, or do you want to wait till the end to do that?
We'll do that at the end.
All right. So what do I want to plug? So let's see. NWA Crocker Roll should be back by the time you hear this. So we took a little bit of a pause, and We're still on a bit of a pause, but we're doing some stuff off of YouTube. That's pretty cool shows, going back and watching some older matches of some of the Crockett stars pre-85 from what our watch is. So we'll have 6 new episodes over the summer leading into the relaunch in September by the time hopefully the cock adds everything back to it. So hopefully we'll have we'll be back to December 85 then. Highway to the Impact Zone, which all three of us are on as well. Over on the Pop feed, Pop Goes to the Couch. And I also do Battlestar in the 25th Century with Scott Shiflett. And there will be a new wrestling show coming on here on this network that'll be once a month that Logan, Jake, myself, and Scott Shiflett will be doing. It is called PTPN Wrestling Roulette, where we are going to pick 4 random matches off of YouTube once a month, and we are going to live watch them. So every episode, someone will pick 4 new episodes for us to watch. So a lot of the Mania pods we did and a lot of the Twitch feeds you do that are live, just think about that more in a condensed format of 4 matches being watched that are just random matches selected by one of us to watch. So please look out for that. So that'll be coming soon too, Ben.
Excellent. You didn't think of asking me? No.
I'm not that
bad. Logan, what have you got coming up, my friend?
Ben, that doesn't mean we won't have guest stars. So don't worry about it.
I'm joking.
Right. Yeah, now I feel bad.
Gosh,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not that. I'm not groony. I mean, no. Logan.
Hey, Ben, I forgot. I hate to mention this, but we skipped an award.
Did we? Which one did we skip?
We skipped the most important one.
Oh, we did. Bloody hell. You can tell it's getting late here. We'll do the important award at the end. We'll get the plugs out of the way first.
Yeah, that's fine. From Squirrel Circle to the Silver Screen came out this week. We did Stuber with Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani. I thought it was a pretty solid flick, but you can listen to that, hear our thoughts. We did Highway to the Impact Zone. We did the 3 episodes leading into Final Resolution. So those are some pretty interesting episodes, some pretty interesting stuff happening. And I may have made a couple of those politically incorrect statements on that one. So I can't deny it. I'm looking forward to the Final Resolution show. We'll have Tim Capel as our special guest on that one. So it'll be a humdinger for sure.
So from me, there is, as I mentioned in the break, there is a new episode of the Special Relations out there. Yes, I get very angry about football and I can only apologize to our American friends. But you can also hear us talk about wrestling subjects like the Chris Jericho and Steve Austin interview. By the way, spoiler alert, that's fantastic. Also, I am on both the Wrestling Mount Rushmore and the regular edition of Mount Rushmore, as well as the newest episode of Popcorn Chicken Salad with the 3 of us. We'll be watching The Twilight Zone from 1983.
Oh, I wonder who picked that one.
I wonder who could have picked that one.
I don't know. Which one of us is the old shit? I wonder.
let's stroke that beard and wonder. So, like Logan said, because Ben's like, you know, it's late over here. Ben missed an award, and it is the most important award of the night. And you can probably guess which way we're going with this. So I'm going to go to Sean first, because I think it's a very easy answer. Salad or shit, Sean?
Oh, salad.
Logan?
Yeah, salad for sure. I think you made a pretty apt comparison. You have a really good recipe for it, and you made it at home, but you just weren't quite you were too lazy to go out and get the really good kind at the restaurant, but you made a pretty good solid batch yourself.
I made the comparison of like paydays on the Friday and you've got some salad in on Thursday and you can't be bothered to go and get overdrawn. So you'll just go with what you've got in. Like I say, I thought the show was good, but it's nothing I'm going to go out my way again to watch. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, definitely.
So for our 1-year anniversary, Sean has got the pick. Sean, what are we going to be watching next month?
So correct me if I'm wrong. Our very first watch was what, Bash 91?
It was indeed.
So we are going to return to the Great American Bash, and we are going to watch Bash 1999.
Excellent.
So, such classics as Hack versus Brian Knobs, Van Hammer versus Mikey Whipwreck, Buff Bagwell versus Disco Inferno, No Limit Soldiers versus the West Texas Rednecks.
Hootie hoo!
So Logan, I think we'll more than make up for this show on the next one, I think.
Yeah, say our worst show is WCW 99, so this one might join the pack at the bottom there.
We'll see. I have not watched this show since the very first time, so I'm looking forward to watching this disaster.
We might need to get Jenny on for that Mikey Whitbeck.
I'm starting to think it sounded like a Tim Cable kind of show, so
she can make a bonus run in. So, for Sean Kidd and Logan Crosland, I'm Ben Locke, and remember, in a world when you could be anything you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next month.
Fear the pedigree.
Better than sex.